Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under chains and bound, under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Before my sermon, I just wanted to take a personal moment. I want to thank all of you who have sent gifts and cards and well wishes to my daughter, who was married yesterday down in Bamberg, South Carolina, at my former church. We had a wonderful service. I got back in about 1:30 this morning, so if I look a little worse than usual, that's why. But I know that it was very far away, and not many Main Street folks were able to attend. A few did, and we thank them for that. But it was a wonderful wedding. So many of you have asked and given gifts, and we appreciate all those thoughts. They're on their way to Alaska. They had an unusual wedding and an unusual honeymoon. They're going to do some salmon fishing and sightseeing, and promise me to bring back some salmon and dry ice. I may or may not share that. But anyway, it was an auspicious beginning. But as I reminded them, you know, the wedding is not the thing. after the wedding, you're married. That's the thing. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Think back just a few moments ago to that unusual gospel reading, that story we all know of the man called Legion, for he had many demons. Or in some more contemporary translations, he's called Lots, because he had lots of them. Such an unusual idea, an unusual concept. But I think through my Wesley Commons Wisdom of the Ages group, I have an entirely different approach, which is also very legitimate and in keeping with the message, the foundational message of Scripture. I have a very different approach today than I've ever done in 25 years. It's about community. Community and belonging. And the outcast that we create sometimes in an effort to create community. It's funny how if you have the same hobbies, it doesn't matter what they are, the same hobbies or the same interest, you can meet up with a group of people and instantly feel a deep sense of community. I remember I used to work at a campground in Myrtle Beach, and I don't know if this is still true, and some of you may have been some of those folks. The folks who owned Airstreams all had the numbers on the front of those stainless steel Rolls-Royce of travel trailers. And they could look in their directory and see by the number who that was, and they'd call them by name, and they'd gather around, and they would associate only with other Airstream owners. I worked 3 years in the travel trailer, in a travel park in Myrtle Beach, and that's what I noticed. That's what I noticed. Forgive me if I offend you, but that's just what I noticed. Belonging. Mutual identity. I went bike riding Saturday before last with some old friends, and we met in the Bilo parking lot in Clinton, because that's halfway between where they live and where I live now. And some other folks showed up on their bikes at the same time, and we introduced each other. We joined together. We talked and about this and that, and we rode for 2.5 hours and about 40 miles of beautiful countryside around Clinton. They were teachers. They were salesmen and advertising agents. One attorney, one preacher. That was me. And an accountant. And we happily became close and friendly, just because we had bicycles and funny helmets in common. On a primal level, it was something like this. Look, I can ride a bike. Me too. Let's be friends. In case you're wondering, and some of you have asked, have I started wearing those skin-tight biking shorts? Yes, I do. Under my real shorts. I'm not going that far. How little it takes to stimulate our built-in hunger to belong, our built-in desire to be incorporated into some sort of community, and often any sort of community will do. I spent a great deal of my college time studying and even interviewing and going to the homes and lectures and meetings of different cults and sects and other kind of offshoot groups. Now, they use this desire to belong to attract and to keep people in a sort of a closed community. But that desire is built in. And on another level, advertising does the same thing. In advertising, they create an ever-changing cult of fashion, the artificial zeitgeist of the moment. They create desire for products and promise, when you have this, now you have arrived. Or when you have this, you will be stronger, you will be better, you will be faster, you'll be more attractive, you'll be more desirable. You will attract others. You'll make others envious. They will want to be around you. They will ask you to belong to their group. Buy our product. It does all of this. Buy this, and someone somewhere will think you are worthy to be in community with. Advertisers are really abusing our inborn desire to belong. God gave us that. And they turn it against us to sell us things that say they will make us more worthy in the eyes of others. At least, that's what they promise. Fraternities and sororities, and some of us were members of those, very often, not always, but very often will have dangerous and humiliating rituals that young folks will go gladly through to feed that hunger to belong, to be a member of a community. And some even consent to have symbols burnt into their flesh, branded to belong. Inner city gangs do the same sorts of things. Studies say that most of them have no intact families. Most of the young men in the gangs have no fathers. And so gangs become a way of belonging and also protection in their minds. There's no denying the evidence that we all have a deep need to belong. And often we go so far in our need to belong that we begin to build a border around us to exclude, a buffer of outcasts to show just how important our belonging is. What are you willing to do to feed your need to belong? Who are you willing to cast out and exclude to keep your community closed? What is the literal meaning of an exclusive community? Anyway, you see that occasionally on advertising, an exclusive community. What does that mean except that it excludes others so that our belonging becomes that much more valuable? The story of Legion, we don't know his real name. When he got into his right mind, I suppose that it was known, but it's not told. The story of Legion, the man with many, many demons, is a story of community, of status quo, and of the fear of change. Whether it is good or bad, our lives gain momentum over time and acquire a sort of inertia in a particular direction. And even when we hate the way things are, it can be fearful to even think of radical change. If we change, then where will we belong? If we change jobs, will we have to move? Will we move and that will redefine us because we have to move to a lesser neighborhood? And then I'll belong to a lesser community and I will be worth less. Fear of change plants that sort of thinking into our heads. Legion, filled with demons, knew full well who Jesus was and knew full well of Jesus' power to change. In fact, Jesus had the power to cast them out of their comfortable crashing in the body of this disturbed man. And they begged, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Leave us alone." They had their own disquieting stalemate and their wretched twisting of this man's life. At least they had a place to be, a community of evil, and they wanted nothing to change. Evil, it seems, fears the good. Evil fears good's power to cast it out and to restore and make whole and healthy a human soul. Evil fears true communion and true community with God. Good threatens evil. Belonging to God threatens evil because if we are in communion with God, we are no longer as susceptible to the false divisions and desires to cast others out of our presence in order to feel special about us. When we are in communion with God, we see the whole world differently. We no longer think in terms of just me and mine. We start to see that community that God intended was God at the top and then myself and then others and sort of a triangle that goes round and round and round. Through the smoke of war and lies and status symbols, we can barely see it. But Scripture is plain. God intended community. Loving God, loving others as we love ourselves. John Wesley wrote about this, about the life connected with God and how it changes us. He said that renewed after the image of God in righteousness and holiness, when the love of the world is changed into the love of God, pride is changed into humility, passion into meekness, hatred, envy, and malice into a sincere, tender, disinterested love for all mankind. Wesley wrote this so long ago. a sincere, disinterested love for all mankind. This is the nature of the new birth, writes Wesley. So it is in everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice the evil in this story wanted to stay evil and begged Jesus to go away. Evil also has an inertia of its own and does not want to change. Now, to the community that chained the man called Legion out in the graveyard of all places, they put him among the dead. He was unclothed. He had no dignity. He wasn't considered fully human. He certainly was not fully alive. And that is what we do when we exclude people. They are not one of us. And so they are not as valuable as us. They are not as worthy as us. It is a tendency of all nations, not just ours, of all races, not just one in particular, of all families even, a tendency to think this way. We are the people, and others are others, outsiders, less than us, not one of us. Perhaps their lives and their children are not worth as much as ours. Perhaps it is okay to lie and cheat and steal and even kill them because they are not us. This is a human tendency that shows up in all nations, races, and history. And it is an evil thing. The people in Gerasa felt perfectly justified in chaining Legion out among the dead, naked and dehumanized. After all, he was evil, and we are not evil in the same way. And so we are better than him. We must be protected from him. We have done a good thing to cast him out. He is not like us. He will never be like us. In fact, we feel just a little bit superior knowing someone that much worse than us is out there among the dead, living like an animal, while we, the good people of the world, behave ourselves in our homes. Jesus ignored the cries of the demons to stay comfortable, stealing the man's life and cast them into the pigs, and they self-destructively cast themselves over a cliff and into the water. Gone were his demons. He was healed and whole again. He was in his right mind. You know, in a way, Christian faith is all about getting back into our right minds. The minds that God intended us to have, the belonging to God and with each other we were meant for. And forgiveness is the door. And God's Holy Spirit is the power that enables us to cast out the evil that separates us from our true selves and from each other. The selves we were meant to be. God's Spirit gives us that power to love and to forgive. What about that? What about that? What is it that you really need in order to get back into community with your outcast friends, your outcast family members? At the wedding, we were told that certain people had to be away from each other. Can I get an amen on that? Have you not have that in your... Is it just in my now new extended family that happens? Okay. What do you need to be back into community with your outcast friends, outcast family members, cast out groups that you've written off as less than me and mine? What is it that you really need to feel belonging with others who have been separated from you? Isn't it love and forgiveness? That is what God offers in Jesus Christ. And through His Spirit offers through us to give to others so that we might be connected in more mighty ways. Ways not possible or even desired before coming to faith in Christ. It's a funny thing about the status quo. The people who cast the possessed man out were also afraid of Jesus' power to change. They begged him to leave their town just as the demons had begged him to leave them alone. They begged Jesus to go away. They saw their very own outcast, our outcast, healed and made whole. And it scared them. It scared them. Why? I think it was something like this. If Jesus can make such a great change in him, what might he do to me? What might he do to me? They wanted things to stay the same, even if it meant the outcast staying the outcast among the dead, even if it meant them staying half dead and just barely better than their demoniac. It seems to me that they were afraid of Jesus' power to change. And so they cast Jesus out of town. They knew he could heal people. They knew he could change people. They knew he could reintegrate the deranged back into community. And they really did not want any of that. So fearful were they of change that they actually cast Jesus out of town. I never really noticed that before. But Jesus left the healed man behind. He wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no, you stay and you tell people. He left the healed man behind to remind them. Jesus told him to remind everyone in Gerasa of what God's power can do. You know, healed and saved are the same root words in Greek. He was saved from his outcast condition. He was saved by God. He was healed and made whole. And the whole affair irked. I think it irked the town who liked things just the way they were. Every congregation, I think every congregation needs someone who is not afraid to say, I was possessed for a time by my own personal demons, however you interpret that. But be they theft, be they lust, be they addiction, be they arrogance, be they judgmental spirit, gossip, lying, what have you, our own personal demons. Every congregation needs some annoying person that Jesus leaves behind to tell us that God can change people. And to remind us, perhaps even make us fearful of the fact that we need changing too. I've been in so many congregations where there was at least one vocal person that said, I used to be like this and God changed me. And I have noticed over the years that that annoys people. And it annoyed the people of Gerasa so much they asked Jesus to leave after the spectacular healing. We, when we are annoyed, are doing what the town of Gerasa did to Jesus. We're saying, I don't want to change. I believe in your power to change, and if I ever need it, God, I'll call on you, but I don't want to change. I'm even afraid of change. I don't want to hear about it. But we all need changing too. We are all in the same boat before God, all offered the same belonging through the love and the forgiveness and the power of Jesus Christ. And we all need nothing less than the love, the forgiveness, and the power of Jesus Christ to change us, to heal us, to save us, to make us whole. Amen.